Welcome to the Transform Podcast. My name is Andrew Farhat. I am the lead pastor of St. John's Church and School in Denver, Colorado, right across the street from Wash Park. And in this podcast, what we do is we consider what it looks like to follow Jesus. We consider what it looks like to be committed to a Christ-centered worldview and operate with that as our lifestyle. This podcast is for you if you are seeking what that might look like or if you have already committed your life to Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. My name is Pastor Andrew. I am here with my wife, Daisy.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have Daisy here. Views always go up when she's here. She's awesome. And then also, this is our last podcast together before we go on sabbatical.
Wow.
Are you excited for the sabbatical?
I am.
All right. Awesome. We're going to do a sabbatical from about May 13th to August 13th. And our last podcast recording will be with Flame, who is an awesome Christian rapper. He's my favorite Christian rapper of all time. He's going to be recording May 10th, and then it will probably go out the following Thursday. So I'm excited for that final episode. And today we're going to cover a really good question. The question is this, Daisy. If Christianity is true, why are there so many Christians whose lives look no different? I think it's a good question. It's like, you know, does this make a difference or not? And so what would you say?
Yeah, I would say it's a good question. I mean, when you first told me this is what we were talking about, like, I kind of had to think about it for a little bit. Like, why is that? Because we believe that Christ does make a huge difference. And so we just wanted to start things out with a quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis always has some really deep thoughts, and so this really just hit me while I was doing some research. He says, "What can you ever really know of other people's souls, of their temptations, their opportunities, their struggles? One soul in the whole creation you do know, and it is the one whose fate is placed in your hands. If there is a God, you are, in a sense, alone with him. You cannot put him off with speculations about your next door neighbors or memories of what you have read in books."
Wow. So what I hear in that quote is he's saying, yeah, I mean, if you want to focus on everybody else, you can, or you can focus on your relationship with God and stop making excuses. Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Yeah. And just, and more than just your relationship with God, but like who God is, because when we really focus on God himself and what he has done, we stop worrying so much about everything going on around us. We really just see him and his power and his glory, and that can just make you kind of in awe of him and not so worried about everyone else.
So in other words, we all have to reckon with who God is. He's creator, and if he's created us and he's demanding a relationship with us, we have to approach that relationship without focusing on everybody else's relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We have a relationship with God that's not predicated upon what other people are doing. And so then we have to all reckon with his invitation to surrender our lives completely to him and put our faith in Jesus as our Savior.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So that's a strong quote that you start out with right out of the gate, because I think it focuses where people need to focus that say this. I'm not going to church because there's hypocrites there. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to make the steps I need in my faith life because there's hypocrites. So that questions the truthfulness of it, the whole thing, for those people. Mm-hmm. But yet, most of those people would say, but I believe in Jesus, though. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's important about your quote. Mm-hmm. And also, I would say this. St. Augustine talked about the visible church versus the invisible church. Mm. What he was saying is not everybody who goes to church is a Christian. Not everybody who claims to be a Christian truly understands what that looks like. And so the visible church is all the people that you see on a Sunday morning. The invisible church is the people God sees as his, the people who have been filled with the Spirit of God, who have been adopted into his family by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is something that's very important. And I don't think I understood it growing up. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, everybody that's here is a Christian. But I found out pretty quick that not everybody who is here truly is a Christian, understanding what that means or is even claiming it. Sometimes people go to church and they are just going because their parents are making them or, you know, some sort of other reason. And so what does Billy Graham say about this, Daisy?
Yeah, so another big thinker here, Billy Graham, I'll come across this quote as well. He says, yes, some so-called Christians are hypocrites, but what about those who aren't? The men and women who take their commitment to Christ seriously and are following him every day, how do you explain them? Their lives have been changed by Jesus Christ, and because of him, they reach out sacrificially to those in need across the world. Don't let a few hypocrites keep you from Christ. Instead, face honestly your need for God, for his forgiveness for your sins, and for the new life he offers to all who put their faith and trust in Christ. God loves you, and you will never be the same once you yield your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And so I think this quote resonates with me very much on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I came to faith and returned to the promises of my baptism when I was 19. So I am 43 now. So that was a while ago. But in that time frame of returning to my baptism and observing Christians, this quote resonates with me a lot because I think in my experience, I've seen authentic followers of Christ. And I do read about on the news some amazing sacrifices that followers of Christ are making. What do you see out there from followers of Christ?
Yeah, you asked me earlier, like, do you know authentic followers of Christ? And I said, yeah, I mean, the people that I go to church with every Sunday and the people who are in our life group, who we are in fellowship and community with, like, I would say they all are authentic followers of Christ who really, you know, believe what they say that they believe. And they're not perfect. We're not perfect. But they're seeking to live it out. They're seeking to take the words of Christ seriously into their lives.
I think that's a great answer. And I'd say, Daisy, would you say that's been pretty much your experience in all the churches you've been a part of?
Yeah. I mean, there's been sins. There's been people who don't do the right thing all the time. But the overall theme, I would say, of all the churches I've been a part of are definitely, like, the vast majority are authentic followers of Christ. And, you know, there's been conflict, and I've seen conflict resolved in a very godly way over and over again. And so I guess that's to say, just because you're an authentic follower of Christ doesn't mean that there's not going to be conflict or pain. But I think we've learned how to deal with that conflict in a really healthy, godly way.
Absolutely. And I'd say I agree with you. All the churches I've been a part of, I've witnessed followers of Christ who love Jesus, who are trying to make his teachings a priority for their lifestyle. And so that's been my witness. But then also, when I look at, like, things going on around the world too, I see Christians whose lives have been changed so much so that they're willing to go to dangerous places to share the love of Christ, that they're willing to give large sums of money for humanitarian aid, not relying on their taxes to do it, but, like, giving it themselves. And I'm talking some significant radical generosity of hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions to support other people who are in poverty, who are in need. I see Christians on the front line of human trafficking and trying to put an end to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see Tim Tebow's efforts, and he is doing what he can there. Also, his focus on helping those with disabilities, children with disabilities, and giving them a night to remember and ministering to them. I mean, there is so much out there that I see Christians doing to sacrifice for others, to help people out of poverty, etc. Do you see that too, Daisy?
Yeah, and I think just not just now, but throughout history, that has been what has happened over and over and over again. Christians really putting themselves in front of danger and disease and saying, my life in this world isn't worth as much as doing what God has asked me to do, because I know that someday I'll be with him. And so it doesn't matter my life, you know, if I die or if I can't live, you know, the most rich and glorious lifestyle here on earth, like that doesn't matter in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so Billy Graham's quote is powerful because it's like, okay, you can focus on those who you see as hypocrites, mm-hmm. who say one thing and do another thing, or you can focus on the ones that are true. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that could be an interesting thing that Christians could say to their friends that say, well, I don't want to follow Jesus because you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. This could be an interesting response. What do you see in me?
Hmm. That's good. I like that.
Put them on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, that's you know? Awkward.
You know, what do you see in me? Do you see someone who is authentically trying to follow Christ or not? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see in me? So, but with all that said, here's another thing we do need to say. Christians aren't perfect. And I think you and I are striving and making every effort to follow Christ and to do it the way that he said to do it. But we fall short, you know. We have disagreements. We aren't always filled with the fruits of the Spirit in those disagreements. And so Christians aren't going to be perfect. The only perfect person is Jesus.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And our religion is not about us claiming to be good, but admitting that we're bad. Mm-hmm. So the heart of Christianity actually isn't that we are going to be the most amazing, like morally, ethically perfect people. The heart of Christianity is that we are recognizing that we are in bondage to our sin, that we believe sin is a big problem. But yet, we believe that so much that we need a savior from that bondage. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he gave himself up for us to rescue us and to deliver us from this evil age. And his resurrection is an announcement of that victory over sin. But it doesn't mean that sin's eradicated in this life. Mm-hmm. Sin still lives in us, even though we receive Jesus as our Savior. And so I would say that Christians should be known more about repentance mm-hmm. than they are about anything else. Mm-hmm. And repentance is what in your understanding, Daisy?
It's a genuine sorrow over something that we've done and then a resolution to not do that again.
Amen. A genuine sorrow over what we've done. So it's not, hey, I'm self-righteous. I don't sin. I'm awesome. But it's a sorrow over our sin in our lives. And so repentance is what we should be about. And so when we see hypocrites out there, when we see sinners out there, you know what we should say? Those are the very people Jesus came to help. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that Jesus came to save. Now, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are admitting that imperfection. And I think that could be a good witness to those who are concerned. With that said, I believe that a Christian will grow over time by the power of the Spirit of God. I mean, so, you know, we could sit here and say, well, Christians aren't perfect. And that's true. Mm-hmm. We need to say it. But we also need to say, well, what is it that would make a Christian set apart mm-hmm. over time? Mm-hmm. You know, and what would you say to that?
Well, and I would also say that, I mean, one of the things that makes us set us apart is that desire to be set apart. Mm. And
amen.
So then how do you nurture that desire? Because I think there can be a Christian who truly believes the words of Jesus, but also has a hard time following through with nurturing the faith that he or she has. And so I think we're going to grow the most in the fruits of the Spirit, in you know, following Christ, the more that we nurture that faith.
Yeah. Absolutely. So first thing that you're saying is if we're going to be set apart, that what makes us set apart is the Spirit giving us a desire, mm-hmm. a Spirit giving us a desire to follow Jesus, to worship Jesus, to serve Jesus? Like, is that desire there? That should be the first thing that sets us apart. Mm-hmm. But then also, what would you say about the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit are supposed to be those things that set us apart. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there's a general pattern or trajectory of our lives where we're kind of going in that direction. Now, obviously, there's going to be sin involved with that, mm-hmm. but there should hopefully be a trajectory in that direction.
Well, and I think the fruits of the Spirit is a really good way of looking at it, because we can look at, you know, different rules and we can say, well, I need to follow these rules, which can be very burdensome and can, you know, you feel like you can't live up to that. But the trajectory of, I would like to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, just really simplifies it. And if you are growing in those things, then the rules, so-called, aren't going to be a burden, because mm-hmm. you're already going to be living in love towards other people. You're already going to be living in faith in your relationship with God. You're already going to be growing in your self-control, for example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the fruits of the Spirit, for those who are wondering what we're talking about, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. And then another big virtue in the Christian faith is humility. That's littered throughout the rest of the, 27 books of the New Testament. and so those are the virtues that we're after. We're not going to be perfect always, when patient, especially patience, right? But over time, there should be a trajectory as Jesus molds us, puts to death our sin, makes us alive in Christ. Those things should be happening. And also, I want to say this, those virtues are defined by Jesus too, not how we want to define them. So love.
Oh, right.
Love is a big word today.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have to understand there's a certain way that Jesus has defined that word. So we're striving after his definitions of these virtues, not the culture's definitions of these virtues. And then also, I would say this too, like sometimes I feel like we're looking for Mother Teresa, Christians set apart, or whatever, like those Christians that are just like, man, this is Michael Jordan, Mother Teresa, like these are the people that are the heroes of whatever. But what are just some basic priorities that set us apart? And I would say this, a desire to worship Jesus, mm-hmm. a desire to grow in the truth of Jesus, a desire to serve in the name of Jesus, and a desire to go by the power of Jesus and share the gospel with other people. And just basic, like, mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we're looking for, if Christians are going to be set apart, they better be in a third world nation feeding the poor right now, or else they're not real. Mm-hmm. But I think that following Jesus, he had some like basic stuff, and he also had different callings for Christians in his kingdom or in his family, and they're not all the same.
Mm-hmm. I think we see that all over the New Testament. I mean, there's big names, you know, the people that we've heard of, Peter, Paul, James, the apostles. I mean, those are the big guys. But then there's also just the simple, faithful Christians who are following Jesus, who don't even get named. And they're just seeking to follow the Lord and serve their families and be a member of their community and be hardworking and be faithful. And that's it.
So, yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you mentioned some of the superstars, but then there's also like Nicodemus, mm-hmm. who's kind of coming to Jesus at night, not mm-hmm. sure. And then definitely at the end of the Gospels, you see him coming out more with his faith. You have Joseph of Arimathea, who is a wealthier man, who you don't hear much about, you know, but he pops up there. And so the Bible is filled with different people who play different roles, mm-hmm. who have different gifts. And certainly an apostle or a prophet is called to a higher calling than just the average sheep in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Someone who's doing the work of an evangelist is called to a higher calling than just the average sheep in the body of Christ. And so I use the sheep shepherd metaphor because that's what Jesus talked about when he talks about the church. And so not everybody's a shepherd. Mm-hmm. There's some people who are sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody is a spiritual leader. Some people are going to follow the spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep that in mind as we talk about this. And so, Daisy, is there anything more you wanted to add to this topic?
I think just, you know, we started out with the hypocritical phrase, and I think that it would be helpful maybe to think about it in a different way. I mean, someone is a hypocrite when they profess one thing and then deliberately lead a different life. But I would say a Christian who commits a sin isn't automatically a hypocrite. And I think that is what our culture is trying to say. This person committed a sin, therefore they are a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. But we're all going to sin. We're mm-hmm. not perfect in this life. And so a Christian is someone who sins and then repents of that sin and changes, maybe doesn't change right away. Maybe it takes months, years to change, but is seeking after that change and desires to follow Jesus. And that person isn't a hypocrite. That's a person who's living in a sinful world and striving to follow Jesus.
I think it's a great point you make. And it's like, do we judge people when they mess up, or do we respect how they handle it when they mess up? Mm-hmm. I think that my respect goes up for people that handle it well when they do mess up. Mm-hmm. You see, so it's like we're all going to mess up in different ways in this life, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point you make.
Thank you.
So anything else, Daisy?
No, I think we covered a lot.
I feel like, you know, this is sad. Like, this is our last podcast this year. And then we're going to go on sabbatical for 3 months, and we're not taking these microphones with us.
And no, we're not.
And these lights. Nope. And this camera. And so what is one thing on our sabbatical that you think will be renewing? If you could say like one or two things that could be renewing, what would they be?
Renewing. Well, I think we're going to be on the West Coast quite a bit. So I think the ocean is always something that is just gives you that peace. And there's something about like the negative ions or something, like it's actually really good for you to see the ocean every once in a while.
I think you're nailing it with that, because I feel like no other when I'm on the shores of the ocean and just looking out there. I typically think about how small I am.
Yeah.
And how big God is. But it makes me think about God like nothing else. Mm. So that's cool. That's a good. Are you excited for the Flame concert?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we should put that plug in. If you haven't registered for the Flame concert, he's an awesome Christian rapper. Even if you are not a rap fan, we want to encourage you to support his message. He's an awesome man of God who I respect dearly. And I would just invite you to go to sjdenver.org. If you scroll down just a little bit, you will run into the tickets for purchase. It's going to be a great night. It's May 10th, 5 o'clock, food truck, 6:30, concert. Tyrone Crawford is also going to open up for Flame, so that should be great. And it's supposed to be just a nice night, and that's going to be here at St. John's Denver. That's 700 South Franklin Street, right across the street from Wash Park. We would love to see you there, and we appreciate your support and encouragement over the years, just telling us how you've been blessed by this podcast. You bless us, and we're grateful for you. So we will see you next time with Flame. Take care.